ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
अर्जुन उवाच योऽयं योगस्त्वया प्रोक्तः कामेन मधुसूदन एतस्याहं न पश्यामि चञ्चलत्वात् स्थितिं स्थिरा। Arjuna told Madhusudana, the system of yoga which you have realized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. So this section between text 33 and 45 deals with the doubts about yoga. This is the last part of this chapter. And especially these three texts, 33, 34, 35, 36, these four texts, they explain whether it is really possible to control the mind. I have discussed many questions on mind control. So here Arjuna is presenting his situation that it is not possible for me to practice the type of yoga that you taught now. Because this type of yoga, as Arjuna says here, demands seeing everyone equally. At least Arjuna concluded that he cannot see Duryodhana and Yudhishthira equally, as Sri Aurobindo Acharya says, by strength of his intelligence. And also, till now, what was the yoga described here, till now? Beginning from Shucho Jeshe Pratishthap Paramasana Matmana. That was the 11th verse, I think, is it? Huh? Ashtanga Yoga. That was the method described till now. So Arjuna, in this verse, rejects this process because of the difficulties involved in practicing this type of yoga. As we saw earlier, Krishna gave the rules that one should leave home, one cannot live in a fashionable city, one should go to the forest, and one should collect kusha grass, and one should focus one's attention in between the eyebrows, and one should lead a life of celibate, and one should eat only roots and herbs. So there are many such rules that were taught by Krishna. And Arjuna, understanding the position of anyone in this day and age, he is here rejecting that method. As Prabhupada says here, it's not possible for an ordinary man to leave home and go to a secluded place in the mountains or jungles to practice yoga made of Kali. So many of the characteristics of Kali are explained by Prabhupada here. One of the things is, nobody wants to leave home and go away to a faraway place because of one's attachment to home. And besides that, one has to follow many, many other stringent laws also. There was an old man who was also very attached to home. He didn't want to leave his home. He had grown up pretty old and he used to have a club business. And later on his sons took over the club business and they were doing it nicely. But this old man always used to interfere in the shop and come and give some useless plans, useless ideas, which was disturbing their business. So they were getting disturbed by his ideas and the old man was trying to impose his ideas on them. And one day they planned, the sons planned, that let us call somebody to read Srimad Bhagavatam at home so that this man will become detached and he will leave home and go away. So they called for someone to perform saptaha at home. And they perform sattaha, and after sattaha, any sign of detachment, he remains the same. Anyway, they called the pandits to come and read many, many scriptures, and all the scriptures didn't bring about any renunciation in this old man. He continued to come to that shop and keep disturbing them. At last one of the sons suggested, call one pandit who will take him to all the holy places, out of all. So he can travel to all the places in India. By the time he comes back, he will be completely detached. But in this, it will last your life. So they employed a pandit and gave him money for his travel, for all the expenditure, everything, and they sent their father with him. And he took him to 35 holy places in India. And after several months, he returned back. And the old man came running back. In fact, he was very eager to know about what is the status of the business now. What has happened in his absence, how they must have suffered a lot without his able guidance. And they were greatly surprised. Even after going to all the holy places, he is not ready to leave home. What can be done with him? Then the pandit suggested, I have an idea. Take him to the graveyard. I will do all that, you don't worry, the pandit said. I will take him to the graveyard and show him a burning dead body. By seeing that, he will achieve complete detachment from this world. And then said, it's a good idea. They took him to a graveyard. And at the time, a body was kept on a pile of wood, sandalwood, and was being burnt. And the old man saw, and gradually his eyes started shrinking, and face started growing pale, and anybody could see wrinkles on his face. And the sons saw the condition of their father, and they greatly appreciated. Yes, at last, they got attachment by seeing this body. And very soon, this old man started breaking out into tears, and the sons felt a very great sympathy for him. And they thought, now we will send him to some hermitage and let him live peacefully. The life of detachment they were planning. And then this old man took a kerchief and started sobbing for a few minutes and expressed his heart. He said, oh, poor sons, how I have wasted all my life. If only I had known this business before a sandalwood, I would not have done the clothes business. At least now, better late than never, take up the sandalwood business. So many people will, because this is a sure shot business. Everyone has to die in this world, isn't it? So everyone will certainly purchase sandalwood from me. Come back home, we will immediately start sandalwood business, he said. So, this is the nature of this world. People want to do something or other. Nobody wants to leave home. But here it is, rahasi sita. One has to go to a completely secluded place. Ekati, and one has to live alone. It is impossible for one living in this age. And all the conditions given in this are difficult even for someone living in Dwapara Yuga. We can make a relative comparison between people who lived in that age and this age. I noted a few points about how in the age of Kali Yuga people have become degraded, devoid of any religious principles. It is said by the artist, Tatashanuginam dharma satyam dharmam satyam saucham shamadaya kalena parinarajan namshakitayu param smriti. All these wonderful qualities mentioned here are deteriorating in the age of Kali. This is takascha anujinam dharma. Dharma, the principles of dharma gradually start declining as the age of Kali progresses. Dharma, to put it in simple terms, means respect for the superiors. So either for mother, father, grandfather, or ultimately all the living entities are supposed to obey the laws of God. That is dharma actually. Katascha anujinam dharma, satyam, and that is actually manifested in these four qualities. Satyam, truthfulness, saucham, friendliness, kshama, forgiveness, and daya, mercifulness. So these four qualities he says nanshati. All this reduced in the age of Kali Yuga. And he says, kalena balana rajan nanshati, ayuhu balam smriti. People's age also reduces as years go. Nowadays scientists are proposing that the life expectancy has increased, isn't it? You are saying that Shastra says that the age is reducing, but life expectancy has increased. What is their answer? They made a survey in America about this. If you include all the aborted children, all the children that were aborted in the womb and who were not given opportunity to take birth, then the life expectancy is only 53. Yes. If you don't take them into account, then it is 75 years. So, They make a calculation without the children who are about it. That's why it appears that the age is increasing and people are living longer life. But if you take into account all the children who are about it, then you will see that the age is actually decreasing. Man is not living longer, actually man is living shorter. Nanshakti, ayu, balam, physical strength. The duration of life, physical strength, smriti, memory, they all reduce in the age of Kali Yuga. You can see how people have very little memory. Even for remembering a small number, they have to note down. People keep electronic, you know, what do you call that? And digital diary, that I forgotten. See, that's my memory. So this is how you forget things in Kali Yuga. So we need a calculator to calculate 1 plus 1. We have very, very short memory in Kali Yuga. So he explains that not only these qualities decrease, everything goes against the religious principles. Like for example, in the Vedic age, the Kshatriyas were ruling under the guidance of the Brahmana. Whereas here in Kali Yuga we have polluted Brahmanas who don't perform Vedic sacrifices, who are simply living for earning their livelihood to fill up that building. These are the kind of Brahmanas we find in Kali Yuga. And the Kshatriyas, the Kshatriya class, they break all the regulated principles. Instead of using their strength for protecting women and children and old men, they use the very same strength for exploiting them and to swindle away and to covet women and other people's property. This is what the Kshatriya strength is used in the age of Kali Yuga. Not only that, we will see the Vaishyas who are supposed to protect the cows and do farming and trading. Instead of that, what do? They open huge industrial enterprises where they employ thousands of men, and those men have been tortured in so many types of hard work. But these men will be living in the neighborhood of the village, in the neighborhood, in the outskirts of the city, where there may be beautiful roads on either side, you will find beautiful trees, and there may be attractive bungalows in which they may be living. But even in such bungalows, it is not unusual to find such people involved in perverted, sinful activities, living in such posh bungalows. So that is the condition of Kali Yuga. People are totally exploited. Actual quality that is explained in the Shastra is the knowledge, culture and devotion by which we estimate the greatness of a person. Do you know what is the parameter for estimating the greatness in Kali Yuga? Vittam. Vittameva kalamrinam janmata ragunodaya dharmanyaya samsaranam karanam balamevahi. It is said in the 12th canto. Vittam eva kalamrinam janma achara gunodaya. Once birth, achara means proper behavior, and guna means fine qualities. These are all estimated based on how much wealth one possesses in Kali Yuga. Simply based on the wealth. How do you categorize a person to be in low class or middle class or high class? What is the basis? Based on wealth only. He's a good person. You say, what do you mean by good? Good actually means he's very wealthy. That's how people estimate in the age of Kali Yuga. Simply on the basis of wealth only. Socrates made an intelligent statement. He said, if a man is enlightened, then such an enlightened man will automatically follow virtue. Nobody needs to control him. As soon as one becomes enlightened, he will follow virtue. But what does the enlightenment mean? Enlightenment is based on one's knowledge, one's culture, and one's devotion. This is the basis of enlightenment. And according to one's enlightenment, actually we can see one's behavior. Srila Prabhupada himself showed that, and he taught people enlightenment and made people behave virtuously. You can see that. But in Kali Yuga, we can see knowledge, virtue, pure behavior, all these things are rejected altogether. On the contrary, there is an animalistic rat race against simply earning more and more and more money and enjoying the senses. That is actually the age of Kali Yuga. And why people do that? Because your respect is only if you have money. So people just want to accumulate wealth. That is considered the parameter for respect. So knowledge and virtue is replaced by a vicious animalistic competition for money. I know that a few statements from Bhagavatam which are very easy for us to understand. If I tell you in Sanskrit, you can understand in English very easily. Prabhupada used to quote many of them Sanskrit times during his conversation. Lavanyam Keshadharanam, you heard this? Lavanyam Keshadharanam, what is the name? What is beauty in Kali Yuga? What is beauty considered to be? Keshadharanam. If you have a very long hair, that is considered to be beauty in Kali Yuga. That is why the hippies keep very long hair. People are fond of keeping very long hair. The Prabhupada quoted when he saw the hippies. They are very eager to keep long hair. And people are paying so much attention to the hair types today. I think there are at least 25 different types of hair types. Go to a salon, you get to know so many hair types. Hair is considered to be one of the most abominable things in the body. As soon as one hair falls off your body, how do you treat it? But that is paid so much attention. This is bodily consciousness. Dampatya abhirchir hetu. Dampatya means family life. Family life is based only on superficial attraction, on sex life. This is the only basis of attraction in Kali Yuga. You see, the Vedic lifestyle, what is given most important is, why do people marry? In order to live together for a very holy purpose. They live together, they beget children, they live according to the principles of Grihastasram, they perform sanskara, even perform garbhara and sanskara to even beget a child. And after the child is born, there are a series of sanskaras after that. One after another. All of you must be knowing, born in India, everyone knows how there is Namakaran sanskara, there is Annaprasana sanskara, there is Mundan sanskara, so many things are there. So why all these things are performed? Actually, a living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. His only goal is to serve God in life. He has no other purpose. But if one is inclined to live in the world, even that worldly life is also turned into a God-conscious life by means of this kind of purification ceremony. Even while living in the world, one can lead a very, very pure life. So, in the Vedic life, the importance is given for one's quality and one's virtue. Whereas here, only superficial. Very easily we can see the examples. What do people respect today? They respect the cinema stars, the movie singers, movie stars, simply by seeing their external appearance, simply superficial appearance. This is what they respect. So many cinema stars have thousands and thousands of fans. How are they able to have? In fact, they are characterless. One woman may go with so many men, or one man may go with so many women, but they are so much respected and people become their fans. Why are people attracted to them? It is simply superficial attraction. This is the age of Kali Yuga. So attraction is simply based on superficial beauty. Also it says, Tritve Pumspe Chati Prati. Womanhood or manhood is glorified according to how many people can they attract by their so-called bodily beauty. Depending on how many people they can attract with their body. Although this body is simply a lump of flesh and bones, which is a distinct diet, no one can escape from that. But still, people in Kali Yuga, their eyes are blinded. They cannot see. They're completely, as Bhagavan says, Pashyanati na Pashyati. Their eyes are completely blinded. They go only with the body. They cannot understand soul, they cannot understand spiritual subject matter. This is the only attraction. Viprasre sutra nevahi. The vipra or brahmana is respected if he is simply wearing a sutra, sacred dress. Viprasre sutra nevahi, he says. So nowadays there are so many pandits going on in the name of brahmanas and performing so many rituals. Most of them have become business minded now. Even if they go to Vedic Pathshala to learn some puja path and other things, they do it only for the sake of business. When I was in my father, 8th standard, I requested my father. Once my father took me to a place called, it was a place of Lord Ganesh, very close to our native place. So I happened to go to the big temple of Lord Ganesh, and when I was worshipping, I heard beautiful Vedic chant from the Rig Veda and Yajurveda, they were chanting. So immediately I escaped from my parents and I went to see who was chanting. And I found many, many small children, this much size. Small children, must be around 8 or 10 years. And they were all having the and Shavanera, they were all chanting the Vedic mantra. I was so impressed. And I ran back to my father, I would like to become like that. He admitted me in this course. And he said, oh, this course, this is not for you. You should become an engineer. They said, My father was a very open man, frank man. He told me, you see, in those days, this kind of life was greatly appreciated. But nowadays, if you see the children, they all come from downtrodden Brahmana families. They have been admitted here to learn all these things for maybe a few years. After that, they will use this knowledge for filling up their belly. That's all. Don't think they are actually here out of interest. Then he said, if you really develop a genuine interest in future when you grow up and become mature, then I will permit you. So, you can see that nowadays the very parishalas are actually the places where people just go to learn some knowledge to fill up their belly. That is why he says, Hitta Tre Sukta Nevahi. So, still wearing a sacred dress, he could claim to be Brahmana. Or in other words, it can be understood from other angle also. That people wear a sacred dress and are very proud of claiming to be Brahmana. Like you go and tell them on Bhagavad Gita, they will say, I am a Brahman. And they will show you sacred dress. That is the only thing they will do. They do not know one line from Bhagavad Gita, nor do they follow one instruction of Lord Krishna. But they are proud of claiming to be Brahmana. So this is the condition of people in the age of Kali Yuga. Udaram Varada Swartha. Filling up the belly will be considered the goal of life. Udaram means stomach. Udaram Varada Swartha. Tatevidu Swartha Gadinti Vishnu. It is said. Tatevidu Swartha Gati. Actual Swartha Gati is achieving the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Whereas here the people in the age of Kali, Udaram Varada Swartha. If you can fill up your belly, that is considered to be the highest goal of life. Somehow or other, you should be able to fill up your belly. And Dakshyam Kudumba Bharane, if somehow or other one is able to run a family, he is considered the greatest expert in Kali Yuga. If you can make somehow two ends meet in family, satisfy all the family members, you are a great hero in Kali Yuga, because it is very difficult. There are so many demands to be met with, and any amount of money you bring, it appears like a bottomless hole. It keeps on going inside, and you can never make two ends meet at home. How much money you need, no matter how much you get, is not enough. If someone is able to successfully run a family, he is considered a great expert. Tasho te dharma sevanam. Tasho arthe dharma sevanam. They perform dharma for what? Tasho arthe. Simply for fame. People perform dharma. Not for any other purpose. Simply for gaining prestige and status in society, people perform some kind of showbuddle dharma. That's all. Otherwise, they have no interest in actual religious principles. You see, actual surrender to God has to be shown from inside, from within. And if it is seen by God, nobody can escape God's eyes. He is seeing everywhere. At every place, everywhere, at all times, God is watching everyone. So our sincerity and our devotion to Him is going to be seen by Him. But in Kali Yuga, people will be more interested in making some showbuddle religion. I did this. Aham Mameti. Aham Khan. So this is the only goal of performing dharma. Yashovarte dharma sevanam. Besides this, there are many other things that, like it is said, women will move from one man to another man without any shyness. They will not have any shyness at all. And they say, it is said, man will just become like animals. One, they will enjoy with other man's wife or with women also with men and men also with women, they will not have any shyness. And not only that, many other things are said like that. Actually, some of them are very strong. You cannot say, you can read 12 kinds of Srimad Bhagavatam to know more about what has happened in Kali Yuga. Some of them will be very painful for you to hear as we talk about that. So many things are said in Kali Yuga. So the age in general is very, very degraded. It's going down. Below. Here we see who is speaking. Krishna and Arjuna are speaking. What was that age? It was such a great age. We can see the Pancha Pandavas were such virtuous people. Simply for the sake of virtue, they were ready to sacrifice anything. One time, when in Dvaitavan, all the Pandavas were living during their exile. And Yudhishthira was so happy because he found there were so many great sages and saints chanting the Vedic mantras, some of them were performing penance, some of them were reciting the scriptures and discussing amongst themselves. And he was living in the midst of the forest, all the Pandavas. The site was so beautiful, there were tall trees. You have seen the banyan tree, huge banyan tree. And there were so many different birds there, and they were living at the bank of a river with crystal clear water. So Yudhishthira was so jolly and very happy. He had completely forgotten about his kingly life. He was more happy as an ascetic living in the forest. And one day in this way, when he was enjoying the beauty of the nature, looking around, Draupadi had a frowning face. She came to him and asked Yudhishthira. She told Yudhishthira that, "I feel so sorry to see your pitiable condition. This body which is lying on an ordinary mat, this is supposed to lie on an ivory bed which is bedecked with jewels and gems. And the very same body which is now mixing with the dirty sand of the ground, it is supposed to be anointed with sandalwood pulp and paste. And this body which is wearing tree bark and the things of the forest, it is supposed to be dressed with beautiful silk and robes. This is your actual purpose. But now by seeing your condition, I feel so sorry. The king of the entire world is lying on an ordinary mattress. What a pity. And the great Arjuna, the great Bhima, who suffers an unworthy war over to anybody, and all of them, your brothers, they all are living in such a dense forest like this. And by seeing this, my heart is burning." So Draupadi was remembering all the things that happened in the court, and how she was humiliated and everything, and her heart was really burning. And of course, Yudhishthira could understand her anger. And he tried to pacify her. She was telling her that foolish people consider anger to be energy. But anger is not energy. If you are not powerful, actually powerful, then you should act according to your capacity, not beyond your capacity. So Yudhishthira said, "We maintain virtue, we remain pure, and it is the will of the Lord that we are here in the forest now. So just try to be happy in the forest. Why do you worry?" Then Draupadi could not be satisfied with this answer. She argued that, "My dear great king, your virtue personifies the whole world, even the abodes which is filled with demigods. Even those demigods are discussing about you, about your great virtue. And you never gave up virtue at any point of time. Before you gave up your virtue, you will give us all of us up, like your brothers and myself. Before you give us all of us away, you will never give up virtue. In fact, only for the sake of virtue, you renounce your kingdom, you renounce your brothers, and you renounce me. Not only that, you are the king of the entire earth, but you didn't even have a tinge of pride. In fact, when you got all that wealth, you utilized it for serving the brahmanas, serving the sages and saints. You never used that wealth for exploiting it and enjoying it for your own sake. And you maintained virtue so wonderfully. You protected virtue, but why did virtue not protect you?" She demanded. What was the reason? And Draupadi was a little bewildered at this condition. And Yudhishthira told her that, "Maria Draupadi, although your speech is very attractive and very articulate, you are just speaking atheism." He told her that the Supreme Lord has his own will, and everything happens according to his will. We should never perform virtue for the sake of gaining some results. If we do so, then we are even lower than a thief. And we will lose the reasons of immortality. We will lose the kingdom of God by desiring some return from this virtue. Virtue should be performed for its own sake and only for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And we should do our duty of being virtuous, and the result of the virtue will automatically come. We should never worry about it. He told her, just see the great sages like Narada, Vyasa, many sages are living at that time in the forest. Just see all these great sages. In front of our eyes, we have dozens of sages. And all these men are so virtuous, and they have perfected virtue in their lives, and they all are glowing with their spiritual beauty. And they are traveling to all parts of this universe and enlightening everyone. If they did perfect virtue, what will happen to the world? The world will go into ruination, and the world will be finished. So God knows when to give the results of virtue for us, but we should act for His pleasure. This was the standard of the Pandavas. Just this. They lived simply for the sake of virtue, simply for the pleasure of the Supreme God. So Draupadi understood. She bowed down to him and admitted his statement. She said, "Yes, whatever is ordained to the Lord, we will accept it as His plan." Actually, it was Krishna's plan to show the world that those great virtuous Pandavas, the great souls, although they lived in the forest, he wanted to show these minority Pandavas at last being on the side of Dharma will win over the Kauravas and will ultimately rule the entire world. That was the plan of Krishna. He wanted to show that at a later time. So the Pandavas were completely virtuous. They were ready to lay down their life for the sake of virtue. And every one of them was ardent with so much quality. Like Yudhishthira was virtue personified. Arjuna was famous for his patience. Bhima for his prowess. And Nakula Sahadev for their great intelligence and for their humble service attitude towards all the elders. So every one of them was endowed with so many great qualities. They lived a very, very pure life. And they were completely sense-controlled. Although they were kings of the world earlier, now when they were sent on exile, what did they do? They did not even fight. Only for the sake of virtue they did not fight. They went to the forest and they were wearing three bars. They were eating whatever came on their way, whatever they could get. They were living a very, very simple life. Pure life. This was the standard of the Pandava. So they were completely sense-controlled. Later when they were in exile, Arjuna, by the arrangement of Krishna, Arjuna went to the heavenly abode. There he got so many celestial weapons, which were unconquerable by anybody. Such weapons he got from his father Indra. And he also pleased many other great sages and saints and got many benedictions. That he had a rat which is offered by Agni. He had horses, silvery steeds which were actually offered by Indra himself. And he had an inexhaustible quiver, which was offered by, who offered it? One Gandharva offered it, one Chitradas he offered it. Similarly, he had the Gandhiva bow, he had the Pashupatastra. So it was extremely powerful. Despite having all this power, still Arjuna never became proud. He was always patient and always humble. He always used to stop Bhima from becoming excessively angry. So Arjuna waited for opportune moment. And the way that when Arjuna went to the heavenly planet, once Urvashi offered herself to enjoy with him. But actually when Urvashi was dancing in the heavenly abode, Arjuna looked at her and he was thinking of Pururava, his ancestor. He remembered that my ancestor Pururava had this Urvashi as his wife. He remembered that. But Urvashi thought actually this great Kshatriya is looking at me so that he can enjoy with me. So later on, she came to meet Arjuna. But Arjuna rejected her, saying that you are my mother. In fact, she had dressed herself very attractively with so many cosmetics and so many types of jewelry and so many decorations. And when she was repeatedly requesting Arjuna closed his eyes and told her, my dear mother, I looked at you as a mother. She said, in heavenly planets, you don't see all this difference. I am after all a heavenly dancer. I am not treated like this. So heavenly bodies have this special ability. They can even change their form. Like those demigods in the heaven that we read in the Hiranyakashipu's pastime, that all the demigods change into different forms. Like small form animals they can change. They can change their body into rabbit. Or they can change their body into small mouse. They can do anything with their body. So their body is born youth and they have to leave the body as youth. And they don't grow old, they don't get diseases. They are born and they die. So she said, our body is like that. It is meant for enjoyment. But he didn't accept. He said, no, I still take you as my mother. Just consider this. One qualification of Arjuna. But he was given an opportunity to enjoy with a heavenly dancer. For getting this Urvashi, Pururava performed so much penance. But Arjuna was given an opportunity, but Arjuna rejected it. That was the qualification of Arjuna. He was very sense-controlled. He never resorted to sinful activities or he never resorted to the side of Adharma for achieving any of his aims. Everything he did was righteous. So we can talk so many pastimes about the prowess of Arjuna. Actually at one time Bhishma was telling all the prowess of Arjuna, like he was telling how Arjuna went around the Kandavaprastha forest. That's a very big story. Some other time we can discuss. How he allowed Agni to consume the forest of Kandavaprastha by making a circle of arrows on the top of Kandavaprastha forest. So that none of the demigods headed by Indra can stop the fire in the Kandavaprastha forest. So Arjuna was very talented. In fact, it is said when he would fight in the battlefield, his chariot would be burning like a wheel round. Nobody can see where is Arjuna. And when he is sending arrows from his Gandhiva bow, it would be like a stream of water continuously coming out of his arrow. Nobody knew when he takes the arrow then he sets it on the bow, and then he is sending it. Like that arrow will come, one after another, continuously. And even those who could not be defeated by the other Pandavas, Arjuna could defeat. There was an elephant called Supratika, who was about to defeat Bhima. But when Arjuna came, he removed the couch on the body of the Supratika and he sent an arrow which went right into the head. It is said he would send arrows on the forehead of the elephant which would come from the tail. That was his power. So Arjuna himself showed his brothers in one of the arena talks at the beginning of Mahabharata, you see how he could even hit the moving target, like you see how he won the hand of Draupadi. So many things we can say. So Arjuna had lot of powers and lot of powers. He had complete mind control, sense control. He had very great qualification. And here is Arjuna saying, what he is saying? You heard it? Oh Madhusudana, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and endurable to me. For the mind is restless and unsteady. So this is spoken by such a great personality. So if somebody thinks himself to be more qualified than Arjuna, then they can give a try. There are many other qualifications of Arjuna we can talk about, because of the limitation of time, we are not speaking about them. But here, as Acharya say, Arjuna also has taken into consideration the people of Kali Yuga. Actually, Arjuna is a devotee of Krishna, and he knows. This is the condition of Kali Yuga, and with the ocean of thought, and there is no dharma anywhere, but it says, although Kali Yuga is the ocean of thought, it says, what is that word? Kala Udosha Nijayaraga. There is one good quality in the world of Kali Yuga. Krishna Deva Krishna Samukta Sangha Param Vijay. He says that one who does the Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Deva Krishna Samukta Sangha Param Vijay. So this sloka and the subsequent sloka is Kritaya Jayata Vishnu, Kritaya Vishnu, Vapara Vipar Sajaya, Kalavata Hari Krishna. This two are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, for Kali Yuga, one should do Hari Kirtana. There is nothing else that can help us. Especially the loud chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if this chanting is performed loudly, it can immediately destroy all inauspiciousness. As it says, Om Apavitra Pajitova, Sarva Avastam Patativa. That's Maria Pundari Saksham, that person, Avivan Krishna. He needed to control the auspiciousness in the place. Kali will be driven out of the place, wherever the holy name is chanted. Tasma Sankirtanam Vishnu, Jagan Mangalam Amhatam, he said. Tasma Sankirtanam Vishnu, Jagan Mangalam. This is the beauty of the holy name. It immediately creates the Mangalata. It is said, Madhuram Madhure Jyoti, Mangala Jyoti Mangalam, Pavanam Pavane Jyoti, Hare Namana Kirtanam. Madhuram Madhure Yogi. It is sweeter amongst the sweetest. More sweeter than the sweetest thing. How do you know? Mangala Yogi Mangala. Even if whatever auspiciousness that you heard of in the world, it is more auspicious than that. How do you know? Pavanam Pavana Yogi means it is a deliverer of everyone in this world. So, lot of glory of the holy name is being, has been spoken in the scriptures. And the holy name only can act in Kali Yuga and save us. Nothing else can save us. That's why you are hitting a person with an arrow, and you can hit one or two people, isn't it? Or if you hit with an axe in your hand, maybe probably you will be able to damage more people. Or if you shoot with a machine gun, maybe you can shoot some people at a time. But if you throw from the top a shower of bombs, then you can destroy thousands and thousands of people. Isn't it? So the chanting of holy names is like that. Continuous pouring of bomb. So this will purify the whole world. You can see that you just stay in atmosphere where the holy name is being constantly chanted. I was there in Vrindavan for the last year or the year before. So there was a Rati Prabhu. Rati Prabhu has sung the third volume of the Vrindavan Mandal chapter. Samasthi Mandal first. Very nice. Very nice chapter. So it's fortunate to be there. And many great personalities from Islam, like Lokanath Swami and many great personalities, they were so impressed by the Kirtan. They had to start in the temple hall. I have to join the Kirtan. So, personally, I got a Kirtan to play. I have to join the Kirtan. So, we were sitting, probably about 50 of us were sitting, and we were singing. We went on and on, but we were 3-4-5 hours of the evening. So, you just observe yourself in Kirtan, you will see, you become obligated to the material world, completely. And when I was returning back to my room, in the night alone, the holy names are ringing in their ears, constantly. You know that. So, this is something like, like when somebody gets smallpox or something, they give an injection or something. What do you call an injection? Before getting smallpox, right? Vaccination, yeah, they give vaccination. So, you can give vaccination to yourself by chanting the holy name. So when one chants the holy name, one loses all bodily consciousness. You can see that. In our group, there were all kinds of people. There were Americans and Africans and Indians and all kinds of people sitting, some were playing Buddhanga. In fact, seeing each other was getting inspired. There was one person I saw, he was having this thing. Two sticks and in between many, many katas were there in that, you know that? What do you call them? Yeah. And he was wearing the chant in so much ecstasy. That was impressing me so much. Wearing it in different directions. So in Kirtan, chanting, dancing, being with devotees, you get so much inspiration. And you gradually tend to forget the world completely. What ashram you belong to, whether you are Brahmachari or Grihastha, Sannyasi or Vanaprastha, whether you are Indian or American or Australian, everything is forget completely. It unites everyone together, singing the holy name. So this alone can deliver one in this age of Kali Yuga. So subsequently we will see Krishna will be telling more about Bhakti Yoga. Here Prabhupada writes one point, it is noteworthy. Of course, it may be possible for some very few rare men, but for the people in general it is an impossible proposal. But this Ashtanga Yoga proposal thing. 5,000 years ago, Arjuna had much better facilities than we do now. Yet, he refused to accept the system of yoga. In fact, we do not find any record in history of this practicing it at any time. See, Prabhupada hits the nail properly. See, he is saying there is no history of this practicing it at any time. Why does he say that? So Arjuna is a student of Bhagavad Gita. So are you also not students of Bhagavad Gita? So Arjuna is supposed to follow what Arjuna did? Some people say, actually Arjuna didn't follow, but I will try. Is it not foolishness? So that's what Prabhupada is saying, there is no history of this practicing Ashtanga Yoga, that's very important. But somebody may say, some people foolishly argue, if it is not important, then why did Krishna give it? So he has given it, let me give it a try. But Prabhupada is saying, there is no history of Arjuna practicing part of Ashtanga Yoga at any time. So one shouldn't foolishly waste one's time. And Prabhupada, at the end, he writes, those who are imitating this yoga system in different so-called schools and societies are low complacent. Or certainly wasting that time. They are completely in ignorance of the desired goal. So the desired goal is clear, that is the kingdom of God, Vishnu Paramam Padam. Even in many of the Upanishads you will find, they end with the word Vishnu Paramam Padam. Achieving the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu or Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. So when the goal is clear, why do you loiter here and there, wasting your time, going for Jnana Yoga, going for Ashtanga Yoga, going for Hatha Yoga, performing such a penance. So this is the biggest blunder that many living entities do to waste their time. Like you go to Haridwar, Himalaya, Sandali, you will find people standing upside down, standing on one leg, doctoring their body, and cutting coal, they will be submerging their body up to their neck. And burning somebody, they will surround themselves with a circle of fire. Even in cities sometimes you find somebody taking a whip and beating their body, you will think. Do you know why do they do that? They do that because they know this body is not meant for sense gratification. They want to prove that. So that if you have to beat your body like this, it is a negative way of treating the body. So if you, they are treating the body to go beyond the reality. But what do devotees do? What? Austerity? What do they do? What austerity do they do? Devotees? It is very easy to do austerity, isn't it? So devotees use their body in Krishna service by which they negate the things of the world. This is a positive way of negating the material sense enjoyment. Which is intelligent? How foolish it is to beat one's body like that, torturing the body. I am not the enjoyer, beat the body, I am not the enjoyer, beat left and right. Foolishness. go to your Ganga, then who is Ganga? Krishna is Ganga, then follow him. This is the foolishness of Mayavadi. Mayavadi starts at the path of the limit, and still they follow him even after that. Because they don't know the path of his end. They don't know the path of his goal. So the goal is clear, and there is a part of bhakti so easy to perform. And especially in this age, Srila Prabhupada, without there is a hint that cannot stand. Because Srila Prabhupada was the one who gave us Krishna consciousness in such a wonderful way, especially in all of our lives, that we can practice it right to our world engagement. Anyone can use any of his talents, especially his conscious society. When people come, they can render wonderful services according to one's talents. The more you become involved in ISKCON, something that you knew here, but the more you become involved in ISKCON, the more you will appreciate how wonderful is this society, Srila Prabhupada has created. Anybody with any talent, the talent can be used in Krishna service. Everyone. Even a person who has been working in humanities and social sciences and has read very dry works of Macaulay, he has read the works of German Indologist. Even such a person who didn't have any understanding of Krishna consciousness, he can become Krishna conscious and defeat all the bogus philosophies. Anybody from any walk of life can be engaged. Like from a small size, youth, old people, man, woman, anybody can be engaged. So, we should take advantage of this wonderful process given by Srila Prabhupada. So, we are seeing this particular world about Arjuna rejecting this process, and subsequently he will also tell about the mind. And then there are many verses that we will ask about the problem. So 33 to 45 is doubts about yoga, this whole series of verses. So very briefly we will discuss about the mind in the next week, because we already had many classes on mind. So we will only discuss briefly on this 2-3 verses next week. And then we can go to the most important question which comes subsequently on failure in yoga. Whether a person gives up part of yoga, what will happen to him? Very important question. So we will conclude here today. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
So we are talking about the virtual qualities of Pandava within that qualification,
and he says that this is unfit for me. That's why. See, the point is, Arjuna had all the positive qualities, you know, like he was self-control, sense-control, mind-control, everything. But still, he is rejecting this path. That was the point.
I understand that it's not wrong. In every age, there is
virtue and sin, both are there, but the proportion is different. In such a way, it's like 75% of people are virtuous. That just reduces gradually. 20%, isn't it? 100%. And then in Treta Yuga, 25%. And in Dwapara Yuga, 50%. And in Kali Yuga, maybe 25% per verse. Maybe 25% people are virtuous. So the number of virtuous people reduce as we go along the ages. Kali Yuga, very, very few people are virtuous.
What is wrong?
And we shouldn't say what is written in the scripture, so we cannot be a part of it. Because even at the end of Kali Yuga, there are going to be very few Vaishnavas. They will be